leave that thing, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 21st. Special day today. We are doing a little bit of a different thing this week because on the air we're doing a wonderful tribute to Cancer Mission 2020 with Gary Mervis, who will be with us in the next hour. But for this hour, we're going to talk wrestling. So for those diehards, you've got the wrestling news and views and all the things we want to talk about. But let me introduce the cast and crew real quick. I'm the cash man, Richie Rich. I'm here with DC Dan Cole. DC?
Hey, hey, hey. And, I'm just logging on. I'm making a new profile at blackpridebeauty.com.
That was on the computer here at WHTK.
The things that go on after hours at Clear Channel.
And Mark Fantasia joins us. Mark Fantasia, if that's your real name.
It is. This week it is.
Okay, and real quick, do my plugs. I want to welcome you folks to the Pain Clinic for December 21st. Holidays today, there's only a few. National Flashlight Day. I could use it in over here because it's kind of dark. Look on the Bright Side Day. There's a theme going here, but then we got...
Always look on the bright side of
And, of course, the last one is Humbug Day, you know, just because the holidays are coming. You know, this is our Christmas show. Real quick, birthdays today. Del Wilkes, you might remember him as the Patriot in the WWF, probably. He's 52 today. And WWE superstar Eddie Colon, that's Primo, or he's one of the Los Matadors. I can't remember which one.
Or as Jerry Lawler would say, the Los Matadores.
Los
si, senor.
The. Looks like wrestling world heavyweight wrestling heavyweight. No. What was it again? The new championship belt.
The World Wrestling Entertainment World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. What
world?
The hell?
World.
I'll let you know
of the world.
Real quick, that the Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire, Culver. Got all these plugs. I'll save them for next week because we got the UFC pay-per-view next week. We'll talk about, you know, we'll plug next week because that's when we're at. Right now we're just doing, this is a kind of on the web type of thing. So, hey, guys, how you doing today? It's a rainy first day of winter here in, and by the way, Brian Cameron Death, happy birthday. He's one of our listeners from West Virginia who tends to chime in every once in a while, send us emails and stuff. He's also in the championship game in our fantasy football against Murph this weekend. So best of luck, Mr. Brian Cameron Duff, and happy birthday and happy winter. Today's the first day of winter. And now let's talk the world of pro wrestling. I feel so terrible hyping up the TLC pay-per-view last week, thinking it was going to be something special.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. It turned out it fell flat. You know what? It's not anything different from the last 3 weeks. Of our last three pay-per-views WWE put on, they've all pretty much fallen flat at the end. No big surprises, you know. No revelations. No, Randy Orton is now the face technically of WWE as well as the holder of the World Wrestling Entertainment World Heavyweight Championship
of the world
of the world. You know, is Christopher Daniels involved in this title somehow? You know? I don't know. But so what do you guys think? I mean, it was, overall, everyone was expecting some swerves and stuff. Nothing really swerved. Nothing really happened.
I mean, we've said it before, and I'm not going to go off on a big, long rant about it again. But WWE, once again, big pay-per-view, supposed to be a big pay-per-view, and the Raw the night after was better. Again.
Yeah.
A free product on TV. Better than the pay-per-view that they want you to buy for $55.
And the amazing thing about that, too, is they continue the storyline from the Raw the week before, totally circumventing the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
The whole HBK CM Punk thing.
Yeah.
You know, so Mark.
Pay-per-view doesn't need to happen for the TV show to keep going, apparently.
You are right.
Every possible outcome that we discussed that day before here, none of it happened. I mean,
not one thing.
Just a clean finish, end of the match, that's it. I think we were all waiting, and then once Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince came out, we're like, here we go. And ladies and gentlemen, have a good night. Tune into Raw.
What?
Yeah.
I was going to say, of all these talks of, you know, the fake finishes, the dusty finishes, the swerves, the one time we all wanted something. No, WWE just gives us a cut and dry winner.
And even if it was something we didn't want, but we wanted something different, you know, we wanted some sort of swerve. No, there wasn't anything. It wasn't really the beginning kickoff to WrestleMania like I had mentioned last week. It wasn't anything special, and I still. And then what happens is John Cena comes out and starts back talking him, you know, admitting a loss and everything, but back talking. You know, obviously Randy Orton, he are not finished. I wouldn't be surprised if well, but you know, it might take John Cena out of the Royal Rumble picture because which I mean, we're kind of hoping, you know,
it's never stopped him before.
I'm thinking triple threat.
Triple threat for the title.
And I really would like to see Daniel Bryan walking away from the Rumble as champion, because then they can build to something like authority fighting him the whole way, or maybe vice versa. He tries to go.
Well, CM Punk is the one with the authority issues right now. Daniel Bryan seems to be completely pushed over to Luke Harper, you know, Eric Rowan and Wes, or what the hell is his name?
Bray Wyatt.
Why do you call him Wes Bryant? No. Bray Wyatt.
IRS Jr.
Seems kind of like they're all pushed over in that direction. And it's like, I mean, it's not like not that the fans don't want that, because obviously they don't. But WWE doesn't listen to the fans, so.
No.
They do.
There's never been more clear evidence over the past couple weeks that WWE doesn't care what the fans want.
Exactly. But then, you know, they're trying to play that off as the authority. Who, by the way, you guys got to meet the real authority.
Yes, we did.
We had a little Christmas party, and we had a little visit from our friend Andrew the Authority Joseph. And you guys got to meet him. So there, you can check that off on your bucket list.
Already done, Rich. Already done.
But nevertheless, so that ended up becoming a major disappointment. Now we're in the 2 weeks of WWE programming, in which it's really pretty much spinning your wheels. Christmas, New Year's, you know, I mean, everything's been already taped in advance for both those. And in fact, I can guarantee you that, because I believe Luke Harper was at a hockey game in Rochester last night with his family. And yes, I saw pictures, and he definitely was there. And so I couldn't have been there and at SmackDown at the same time. So I guess they get a week off, and then they're back on the road. I shouldn't say this. Well, this is on the people who listen online. No one, you know, much less people listen online than they do listen on the air. I'll say that I'm trying to hook up with him for dinner this week sometime. So if he's got time, you
call
know,
me.
But this is also the week of Christmas too. So, I mean, there's lots of family stuff going on. But yeah, he's in there. If you want to really spoil the WWE for the next 2 weeks, just go read the spoilers. But man, it's one good thing, the news that came out this past week, actually, about our good friend Luke Harper and Eric Rowan, they are pigeonholed to be the tag team title holders, either going into WrestleMania or now maybe even going into the Royal Rumble, you know, 5 weeks from now. So I think that's great. I mean, they should. I don't know where this continues on with the Daniel Bryan angle, but, you know, I think that's a good thing for those guys. I mean, Rochester title holder. It's not China either.
I think more of the picture for they'll be the backup to Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan. You know, that's more of the picture. Them holding the titles, I think, is awesome, because it makes a very credible tag team who legitimately look tough to beat, and it makes it the title that much more credible again, which has not happened in a long time. But the Rhodes brothers have made it close.
Well, the Rhodes brothers have been losing the last couple of weeks, too.
Yeah, they're single-handedly to the Big Show?
Yeah.
Seriously?
And then we had him. Then we had, wasn't it CM Punk got beat the Shield single-handedly at the pay-per-view, and then pretty much did the same thing on Monday, but got destroyed by Roman Reigns. Why am I going to those guys? Well, they don't hold the titles anymore. Actually, it's the Rhodes, and the Rhodes have lost their last two TV matches. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, hopefully, you know, I mean, we're all, you know, huge Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan fans, and so we'll see what happens. But you know, it's a good thing when the company says you should be holding the gold. It means they like the work you're doing, and you know, you're building momentum. And I'll tell you, how can they beat what Luke Harper did that one week a couple weeks ago, where he was in the main event of every single show they have, including their minor league NXT show? So it's just good news. Danny, you had a beef when we walked in here. You had did we already touch it?
Is it the website? I have a couple of beefs with WWE. Just some continuity things, and then the big difference between the world of WWE on TV and WWE on their website.
Okay.
You tell me what you'd like to hear. I can tell you my gripes on both.
By the way, we have the Artiste made it.
Special
What's up, buddy?
Guest.
What's up, Artiste?
Parking garage should be open on the weekend. Oh, it's a madhouse. I'm not.
Did you walk from like where I did by that church down around the block about a mile away?
The church
rain?
That's on the inner loop?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
I passed the church on my walk.
Yeah, no, they told the one by Channel 10 down around the corner. You know, that's where I'm parked.
After
right
a
now.
Lot of loops, I know this block quite a bit better right now. Soaking wet too. So
yeah,
this is
too.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mr. RTC. Oh, he was here late last night at the Amherst game. In fact, speaking of Luke Harper being at the Amherst game last night,
indeed.
See, since nobody's only 200 people listen to this online, or that's what it shows me. I'm sure it's a lot more than that, but we're not going to spoil anything saying Luke Harper's in town for the next week or so because everything's taped up until New Year's. Is it? No, New Year's Eve, they're back. I think they're back for SmackDown that week.
The yeah, Raw before, yeah.
Did get to see him last night. He goes back on the road on the 26th, so.
Oh, so we're not going to hook up then, you know, especially with holidays and stuff coming, you know.
Yeah, it was good to see him. I will say this for a nice visual. I finished up my second intermission report, went down and visited him and the family down in their seats. And you know the Blue Cross Arena has those blue seats that came from another arena with the renovation, those seats are 40 years old.
The Richfield Coliseum they came from.
If you can just imagine those little seats that are meant for people that are no more than 5'3", maybe, and Luke Harper and me sitting right next to each other. it was a little uncomfortable.
Well, you have those are the seats where you have to spread your legs to be able to sit down because your knees have to go around the seat in front of you.
Well, you got to find somewhere for your knees to go, but... Yeah,
I've sat in those before. They're terrible. What a great deal to buy those when they were tearing down the Richfield Coliseum and bring them here to Rochester.
Is that where they're from?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Really?
They bought all those extra seats from the Richfield Coliseum. I've been to the Richfield Coliseum before, too.
That's torn down now, right?
It is. It's gone. Yeah. It's about 20 miles south of Cleveland, I think, something like that. That's where the Cavaliers used to play.
Mm-hmm.
But terrible seats when I was there. But nevertheless, yeah. So, yeah, I can imagine. So he's home for a little bit, which was really cool. I love a picture his wife put up. Of him, her, and...
Their freaking son is something else.
Because
I went down and like, baby Brody's a little shy at times, so you never really know what you're going to get with him. So I come down, I visit, third period's underway, eventually I go back up to the press box, and I look back down to where they're sitting, and their year-and-a-half-old son has his shirt off and is dancing like a madman down there, so... It was more entertaining than the game last night. I'll say that much.
Ooh, not a good result.
At least there was a result. I mean, going into the shootout, there were no goals in the game. So, okay. But everybody's like, "Ooh, it's a defensive battle." No, it was just nothing was happening.
Horrible offense.
Maybe they need to play back outside in Frontier Field because I guess the rink's still up out there.
There's a lot of high school games there this weekend. I don't know how they're going to do with all this rain.
I know it's terrible. It's warm too. It's you know I mean.
I just jogged past the Manhattan Square Park rink, which is now just a pool,
big puddle. Yeah.
No.
That's what I thought.
Water polo.
That's what I thought everybody was parked. Yeah, water polo in 8-inch water. That's how deep it goes.
Should have just parked right on that.
Well, I'm asking the lady down here when we're walking in. It's like, what is going on? And she goes, oh, there's some sort of fun run or something, and everyone's parking here. Like, oh, it's terrible.
Which I didn't put that together when I passed probably 40 different runners while making my loops around and then through the Strong Museum lot and back around.
I can see the Strong Museum lot, and there's tons of people standing around down there. So it looks like definitely that's where it's originated.
Didn't even
from.
Think of it. I was like, this many people go to Strong Museum at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday? Maybe good for them.
Maybe it's just because I'm a larger man, but I've never heard the words fun and run used together in the same sentence.
Yeah. There's fun no walk, fun maybe. Yeah. Fun. How about fun, you know, getting
in the rain.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I think there's ways to run indoors.
Yeah, I think there is, you know, but hey, we were just talking.
Winnipeg probably agrees with us on this, though. All those people listening online.
Yeah.
Because in Winnipeg, everywhere you are, you're indoors.
I heard
all
that.
The tunnels and stuff. I mean, you can walk from anywhere you need to go indoors. So.
They have payphones there, too, where you can call Quest.
Mm-hmm. Call Quest now.
I'm on Quest. I have nothing to do.
We're not really on the radio right now that we can say whatever we want to.
We can. Go for it. It's going to be, you know, on the
I'm not saying I'm going to, but
nevertheless. Well, wait a second. Real quickly.
Feels good.
You were there. Yeah, it does. You were there for the pay-per-view. We talked about it to start the show.
I had some garlic bread.
Yeah.
And there was a side of pay-per-view.
Yes. And we were talking about how disappointed we really were pretty much walking out after it and how they it could
did
have
we
been,
expect anything less?
It could have been so much more. It could have been.
Of course it could have.
Yeah. And
that's every WWE pay-per-view since... SummerSlam 94. Not really.
There's a lot in there. How about since the screw job?
I don't know. I expected that there would be an actual winner, but now it's, where are you going with this? I mean, at least I will say that Daniel Bryan got a good match out of Randy Orton on Monday night, which, of course, Monday night ends up being more entertaining than the pay-per-view, which happens every single pay-per-view, and this trend needs to stop. Stop giving away these matches
10 minutes
on
ago.
Cable television.
We were talking about this 10 minutes ago, so yeah. But that's
This is a podcast. Just edit it and rewind. And
one thing I will throw out there they keep saying is Michael Cole says that Randy Orton hasn't beaten Daniel Bryan since SummerSlam. Their feud actually began like 2 months prior to that when Daniel Bryan had a streak of like 5 matches in a row beating him on SmackDown.
Yeah,
they don't mention those, and he even made him tap out prior to
that.
Yeah, they don't talk about that.
It's before Randy started to get pushed back up, but yeah, he had a series of pinfalls against
him.
But
he made
him
tap, and they don't acknowledge that.
Well,
I think that's
of course,
a huge thing.
It's revisionist
history. Can I just say, when you're cheering for Randy Orton, you don't have to yell... Yeah, after every single strike, after every punch, after every kick, oh my God, I
had
headache.
Damn, Randy!
Like, we joke about it on this show, but I'm going to go on the record right now and say I had a gigantic migraine on Sunday night.
Yeah.
So much now that I'm losing my voice, repeating myself. Oh my God. Like, calm down. It was an open-handed strike. It wasn't an RKO. Like, save your excitement for the big moves, for the signature moves.
He actually
missed. Oh, my God, Randy's sitting up. Yeah! Jesus.
Okay, on that note, maybe we'll take a quick break right here. But I got to say one thing. I went and did a straw poll in the bar of everyone there, and I said, who do you think this guy is going to win? Do you think this guy is going to win? What do you think is going to happen? And the only one to raise her hand for Randy Orton was... the old lady next to us.
No, I raised my hand.
Oh, you thought Randy Orton was going to win too? Oh, okay. Well, you guys were few. You were the only two there.
I shouldn't have said that because I don't want to put myself in the same category. How long is this commercial break?
It'll be really quick. We'll be there and back in no time.
I need water.
Second part of Hobbit. So yeah, take a break, relax. We'll be back after these most
important uncensored
messages.
Pain Clinic.
All right,
Total Divas Talk Show.
Yes,
no. Yes.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Conclusion just because of one moment in time I had with Dixie Carter. You don't even know me, man. You're going to question what I'm capable of doing or have done?
Hey,
Come on.
Last night at TLC, you were the better champion. You earned it. Congratulations. But I want to remind you of something Stone Cold Steve Austin said about that championship. That championship forces you every night to put up or shut up.
And Daniel Bryan refuses to walk with the reapers, then he will burn with the saints.
I'm one of the most entertaining guys in professional wrestling.
Absolutely.
Now, I save the best for last. The coup de grace. There's one more gift, and I slid it just under the ring over on this side. Come on, let's go. Come on, big guy, get off. Come on.
Is this almost over?
Get up there. Yep.
What else could this be?
It's not working. I want you to have this.
Steel chair? Some kind of barbed wire?
I want you to have this. Be careful. There you go.
All devices from Monster's Ball.
But you're right. This moment to yourself. It's right here in the middle.
What is it? Oh, you know who that is.
I know what that is. It's Janice.
All right, EY. I'll do it.
Hi, this is Angelo Musk, and you're listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Wyatt, we're back in the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I am here with the Artiste, DC Dankel, Mark Fantasia, and you. And, you know, we We've talked about our
discontent. And a bunch of oranges.
Yeah, it smells like
and
oranges.
Grapefruits.
And grapefruits and all sorts
honey
of stuff.
Bun.
And honey bun. And we got lots of stuff in the studio. I want you to know we're going to be out for Salvatore's for the Royal Rumble. That'll be in January. There's never a cover charge. Come join us. But I want to talk some more news, and I know...
No, please no.
But one of the pieces of news that have happened this week that that Mr. Artiste and I were kind of... We didn't even have a clue that was going on when we were talking about a certain lady who sat next to us at the house show.
Certain fine looking lady.
Yeah, Michelle Beadle. I call her... She got a lot of forehead, I'll say that. But
what? When he started that word, I didn't think.
You know, she's got a lot of, you know, she got like a, you know, kind of like the Rihanna forehead, you know?
No way! Wait a minute.
Are we talking Rihanna forehead or like Peyton Manning
so
forehead?
Bring us back to that Facebook debate I had where a certain owner of a certain 2CW wanted to tell me that Rihanna was more attractive than Michelle Beadle. And I said,
what?
Absolutely not. Not true in the least bit. Rihanna has some good tunes. I won't even give her that. No, there are some catchy tunes, and I'm not like that type of music kind of guy at all. But she's not attractive.
I'm with you.
And Michelle Beadle is absolutely attractive, but apparently
Rihanna?
Michelle Beadle was called a normal blonde or an everyday kind of girl. She's like,
girl
no.
next door. What's wrong with that?
Like, but still really hot. And hilarious and loves sports. And all right, Rich is back.
Okay, sorry about that. They're just giving me breakfast sandwiches next door.
Ooh.
So there's
oh,
some,
were they?
Yeah, so there's some food.
We'll be right back here on the pain.
Time for break.
From Bill Graves. But nevertheless, yeah, no, I just said, yeah, there was, you didn't really get to the guts of why we're talking about Michelle Beadle, right?
No, we just
talked about, okay, I'm sorry, but I think she is.
Goo goo gaga she, over her for 5
but
minutes.
But she seems like she's got just the way her hair is
all
done.
All right,
okay?
Let's pull up a picture
okay,
here.
Sorry.
I got some pictures here.
I find her very attractive, but she's very crass, obviously, too, if she comes up to someone and says, hey, I can't say that word, face. You know, and that's what she did.
Because we're uncensored right
Hey, you know
now.
What? Yeah, you sure. know what? You talked with Luke Harper. He was there. Maybe you could have asked him about it.
I don't really talk business much when I hang out with him.
Yeah, I understand that, too. We don't want to get him in trouble. Nevertheless, but, you know, the thing is they were taping the tribute for the troops last week, and Michelle Beadle is the, what's the TV show she does?
What is she on now? I don't know. Is she
Access
on anything
One
now?
Or something like that?
Is she still doing that?
She's the host of, hold on, I got to hear her.
She was on Sports Nation, then she had the crossover, then she's gone from NBC Sports Network, and I don't know what she's doing now.
She's like hosting an NBC show. Man, I can't even find what it's called now, but Access Hollywood. So she's there representing Access Hollywood, and she's hosting the whole Tribute for the Troops, which we'll see on December 28th here on NBC. And she and Punk dated before. It's a known history that they've dated before. So she sees him and she goes, hey, F face, as she was going by. And it's kind of like her generic introduction when she has to see somebody. So I guess if she calls you F face, I guess it's okay.
It's a term of endearment.
Yeah. So, well, nevertheless, AJ Lee heard that and she kind of was insulted. And
how is that too much forehead? I'm interrupting you. Really?
Let me see. Okay, no, she's a beautiful woman. I will say that. You know, we'll ask Matthew Barnaby. You should have asked him when you saw him here last week.
I'm not bringing that up with him. There's some things you don't bring up with Matthew Barnaby.
Yeah,
you do. Some things.
Driving on no wheels and yeah. and Michelle Beadle.
You got him.
Okay, I understand. Yeah. Nevertheless, So AJ Lee kind of took
How do you drive a Porsche SUV with 3 wheels? Go ahead.
All right. I know this is a radio show, but this is a visual gag only. This is too much forehead.
Okay, yes.
Right here.
Peyton Manning. Yes.
No, I feel like right now we're doing one of those hockey broadcasts on TV that are then simulcast on the radio. Yeah. We're like, oh, you take a look at this replay here, and everybody listening on the radio is like, what?
Huh? Yeah. I like the radio where you hear the noise when you know that the football scores are going to be scrolled at the bottom of the screen. You hear ding, 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 and then it's like, yeah. I can't see nothing. I know something's going on. You know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you're listening to the news on the radio as they're showing you the temperatures in all the towns. You know, and it's like, yep, that's just good, nice music playing in the background, and I'm sure there's something going on. Nevertheless, Michelle Beadle and AJ Lee kind of had an incident backstage at the Tribute for the Troops, and everyone assumed after that happened that AJ Lee was going to drop her title last week because it was her punishment, because some unknown superstar who's backstage said that the WWE treats they treat celebrities a lot better than they treat the wrestlers, and so you cannot do anything against a celebrity. And AJ Lee cussed her out pretty much in front of people, and Michelle Beadle came out and posted on her Twitter that she thought it was a joke. She thought she was kidding around. And it wasn't really that big a deal to her, but nevertheless, it was in front of clients. It was in front of officials in the company, and it was embarrassing to do it when you're doing there for a charity thing. So,
well, and you could tell at the house show, hashtag team house show, that every worker in the WWE is good friends with Michelle Beadle. So her doing this as well, it's not just that a celebrity would get treated well, but it's also a situation where there's a lot of people probably on the roster that would have taken Beatles' side anyways because they're all such good friends with her and wouldn't like to see her disrespected like that.
Sure.
But there are people out there that think this is a work.
Yeah.
But I don't. And,
please don't tell me it's going to be another Maria Menounos at WrestleMania.
No. I don't think Michelle Beadle's athletic
Michelle
Beadle type.
No, you know what? I would be okay with that. I didn't like Maria Menounos getting in the ring. I like saying her name.
It was funny when she crapped her pants.
Or
looked
else.
Like it, she did.
Or something else. Yeah, she had that red makeup streak down. Nevertheless.
That was pretty wild. I didn't notice something. Okay.
Yeah, nevertheless. Well, you know what? Michelle Beadle doesn't seem like the athletic type. And if you read her blog.
Let's pull the picture back.
When you read her blog, all she does is talk about
not
partying.
The athletic type.
No, she's
say the guys here eat
for
donuts.
For all you listeners, take a look at this.
Listen, she's a beautiful woman, but I just don't see her as like the one that's in the gym like all the wrestlers and stuff. You know, I don't.
She's pretty toned.
Yeah, she is. And the thing is, I follow her. I read her tweets. She's always on the go. She's in a different airport every day, and I don't see her calling anyone F face on Twitter. So I mean, it's whatever she did. Obviously, actually, CM Punk kind of took it as an insult. Maybe they had a bad breakup or something, and maybe AJ Lee took. You know, since AJ Lee is dating Punk, and we know this now because they've been seen everywhere, and they also bowled against Chris Hardwick's team on the Nerdist. If you ever went to the Nerdist and watched the video of the bowling team, they seem to be together, I guess. And AJ Lee also is a terrible, terrible bowler, but because they cut her all out of all the scenes, pretty much. But nevertheless, she's defending her man. You know, she seems like a punky kind of girl. Did you see, by the way, the comic drawn of AJ Lee meeting Lita when she was a kid, and then they had the next shot of her. I'm not gonna say what she was doing, but she was with Punk under the covers or something. She goes, "Call me Lita," because she had an obsession with Lita as a kid.
Ask, can anyone name one girl that he has not dated? I feel like he's really run through pretty much every one of them.
Tracy Brooks, Daphne.
Maria Kanellis.
Maria
Kanellis, Beth Phoenix.
Yeah.
Lita. I think AJ. AJ. There's other ones to shoot.
Beadle.
Michelle Beadle.
What? How?
I don't know. He's at Rebel, like Shawn Michaels called him on Monday Night Raw. You know, a rebel against authority.
Speaking of, did anyone else really feel that the whole segment got really weird when it looked like Michaels forgot his lines or something? It looked like the whole segment.
It looked
segment
like they were ad-libbing.
It got weird.
Yeah. Hmm. I was going to say that. I liked it. But it was just him leading into introducing the match, you know? So, I mean, why are they keeping HBK out there if he's not going to be doing something?
Funny thing is, he pointed to the ramp and said, "Here's your opponents," and they came down from the
rafters. Came out. Yeah, that was interesting. I mean, it was nice to see HBK, and I kind of like when he looks uncomfortable. And I love it when he chides the fans because you know how they were chanting, and he's like, "Ah," he goes, "What do you say?" He goes,
"Well, they're chanting, you sold out."
Yeah, and then they kind of lost momentum, and he goes, "Ah." I have it on the one.
But then he laughed. He laughed when Punk, when they said one more match, and Punk goes, "I'm gonna have plenty more of those." And Michaels just started laughing. I think he wasn't really ready.
Yeah. Well, no, apparently it was no one knew about this until he said, I said backstage on one of those videos that they had called him earlier that day, and he lives in San Antonio, so it's not that far. Probably drove. Remember what he said? He goes, "I got a car waiting for me, so let's get to it." You know, but he pretty much was, just showed up to this thing. I think they want to keep him involved. I think maybe he's interested in coming back for a match. I mean, a lot of people say no. Undertaker doesn't have a problem with it, apparently.
I would like to see. He's a great worker, but I want to see him stay retired because after what Flair did, after that huge send off, it really kind of upset me after the whole.
After pretty much every wrestler that's ever retired,
I think I've seen Terry Funk
retire
three times. So
I don't care for wrestler retirements anymore. I don't like. I just everyone who's gotten a send-off has ruined it, pretty much, or come back to the indies, or... Then you get indie wrestlers that are retiring, and then they come back, and it's all...
Well, we had a guy, I bet $50 in the studio here, that when he said he was having his retirement show, I said, I bet you $50 you're going to be back in the ring. Not 9 months later, he was back in the ring. Mm-hmm. I told him to buy something for his wife for Christmas with that money, because it's like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, it doesn't surprise me. Actually, I think Tom Pritchard knows him, too.
Can we say it because it's on the podcast?
Yeah, we can say it. It was
Tiger Smith.
Tiger Smith, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, remember we had Mr. Tom Pritchard on back about, you know, it's 8 months ago?
But everybody, like literally, I don't know. I'm trying. Let's see if we can name wrestlers who retired and have stayed retired.
Nigel McGuinness.
He has to.
Yes. He has to. It's the only one I know.
Shawn Michaels.
Edge.
Not Shawn Michaels.
Well, he hasn't wrestled yet.
Shawn Michaels came back, though. After years, unless that didn't count as retiring in 98.
The first time he retired.
Yeah, which should have been the last time, because then he came back and he wasn't the same Michaels.
He had a back injury, and 5 years later he came back. So, yeah, you know, I don't, you know, that's true. Let's see. I definitely can't come back. Guys, I have an idea. So I know someone who retired. Draws.
Let me rephrase
really?
This. Guys that could return... Yeah. That retired and then
there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, I hate to see Shawn Michaels go when he still can do what he's doing, at least to the extent he does it. He does the voodoo that he does so well.
That's why I didn't mind his second run, because he was kind of like Chris Jericho. He was helping out the other guys and he was putting on great matches.
Oh, his first match back, he won the heavyweight title from Triple H. So it was.
It wasn't the same. I enjoyed him being back, but. I was such a big Michaels fan in the 90s, and it was not the same Shawn Michaels in any way. It was still entertaining, yes, but like when I remember Shawn Michaels matches, I don't want to remember anything past March of 98, because it's not the same.
I was just going to say, on that new Raw disc that they have, the anniversary, one of the first episodes was him and Jannetty, but they also have the late years of, or the early years of DX when they were just starting to piss off the Hart Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Miss that old Michaels. You're right. That was good stuff to watch.
Well, I mean, he had a back injury up until his last WrestleMania where he lost to Stone Cold Steve Austin. I mean,
fairness, he as a person changed a lot in that time frame as well, which credit to him. He got his life together and everything, but. I thought the old Michaels was more entertaining.
Well, I mean, he always could cut a promo. He always, that's one thing you can't take away from him.
It was the drugs, just like Motley Crue was much better when they were on drugs.
Oh, no. Okay.
The opinions of Mike are not endorsed by Sports 1280 WHDK.
Even though we're not on the air, we're talking about. Yeah, we will be in about half
drugs
an hour.
Drugs are bad, MK.
Yeah. Okay.
You shouldn't do drugs.
Okay, let's go to another topic real quick. Half of you guys did not watch TNA this past week, but we have a new TNA champion. It is Magnus. He won. He beat Jeff Hardy in Jeff Hardy's signature match, which was actually wasn't a signature match. It was called a Dixieland match, but it ended up being a ladder at the very end.
I don't know if that's anyone's signature match.
But nevertheless, but this all comes down to one that I want to bring up is AJ Styles. There's a lot of stuff going around. Yes, he's done. He cut a promo where he thanked everybody after he lost. You know, he eventually down the line, I think a week or two from now. Takes on Magnus and loses the title that he's holding to Magnus, if we see it, because they did that because he still wasn't re-signed. A lot of people saying it's a work. We're going to have Jeremy Borash on next week, so maybe we can see if we can get some information out of him. He'll never tell us a thing. But you know what? But I mean, they say there's a lot of people backstage who think that AJ's been working those guys, and this is all. But I mean, he's going to be at 2CW. He's going to be a bunch of. What's the one down in there's another one around New York that he's going to be at too, down in Binghamton. Is that the 2CW show he's doing?
It's 2CW in Binghamton, okay. March 14th.
Yeah, because there's a bunch of shows. I mean, we saw AJ Styles come for an NWA Upstate anniversary show, and it was the biggest crowd I think I've ever seen them have. And it's because AJ Styles is a great performer. He's well worth seeing.
Does anyone think that this is just like the summer of 2011 and Punk all over again?
Well, I don't know, because Punk was legit. He did walk out with a belt. There was a lot of legitimacy. He just was talking with them about a new contract and stuff, but he wanted to see if he could, you know, shock the world, and, you know, he kind of did a little bit. So, you know.
So this is going to be an unfair statement, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Impact started Thursday night with Magnus, who, credit to TNA for trying to build their own stars and not just putting the title on all washed up WWE stars, like WCW did. Magnus comes out and cuts a promo about traveling the roads and paying dues, and I just like to know, compared to everybody else in the business, compared to other guys in that company, what exactly road, like what roads did he drive? Like what
all the roads
did he
of
work?
Florida.
What cars did he sleep in?
I got to tell you something. Once you date Mickey James, you can use that line.
But didn't he just, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, he maybe did a little bit of training while he was on like the British American Gladiators or whatever. And then like, boom, he's in TNA.
Yep.
Like,
I know his whole like I've
pretty hot shot
it.
If you ask me, I don't think he actually did really pay due. He's built his name up in TNA. I don't know. I mean, what didn't see the reaction. Like, I didn't see the title.
He's a much better worker than he was like a year or two ago. He's learned a lot.
And he's a new star. They're making new stars, which is important because you can't just.
And nobody expected him to be the guy to step out, you know, and have the fans behind him. But it happened, you know, when him and Joe were teaming. That's when people started turning for him, because remember, he was the bad guy and Joe was a good guy in that team. But people started, they started playing the game where he would defend Joe, you know, even though they hated each other as partners, and end up being a pretty good tag team. And I think the folks got online. His physique's a lot to do with it. I mean, he's, you know, great shaped, you know, he's the kind of guy who would make it in WWE too. You know, I mean, they would take him as a raw talent and turn him into something big. So
is it unfair to say, and this is something I should say for Borash, so unfair to say that if you have a British accent, you might be in a better position in TNA?
Well, they had to fly you over here, first of all, and get you all those visas.
They love Britain. They love British people. Well, they all,
you know,
like Rockstar Spud and his Spud, and like,
yeah.
Borash flies the UK like every week to do stuff over there.
You know why? Is it because they beat WWE in England? In the English TV, they have higher ratings than WWE.
Like, so, how much of that is behind the decision to strap him? Like, is it just because?
I wonder. We could ask him.
Kind of that worldwide.
I dare you to ask him that when he's on next week.
I was just gonna say, is this a la the terrible decision by WWE to put the World Heavyweight Championship on Great Khali?
Oh,
because of their presence in India.
I had erased that from my memory.
when they did the whole championship unification thing, he was in the ring.
Remember that he was
in the ring.
He was
with all those great champions.
But by the way,
I'm watching it going, one of these things is not
you're
like
really
the
trying
other.
To, you're really trying to get me to swear on this unsanctioned page.
Did you see the Photoshop Benoit's head put in there? It was.
Replaced Great Khali. I can't say I don't care that he murdered his family, but
ouch.
Get Khali out of there, please.
We gotta go to break. We got one more break, and then we got one more segment. So,
do we have to go to break?
Yes, we do.
Who's Chris Benoit?
Because we can tell we're
you
do we're on
our
game today.
Yeah,
I'm doing my best to sabotage the show.
No.
I still have gripes.
All right, we'll be back on the flip side. You listen to Pain Click and Sports 1280 WHTK.
Told me this.
Over $500 million is at stake this weekend in the lottery. However, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Because none of you will be fortunate enough to win even a cent of that money. And you will be forced to return to your ramshackle homes and your miserable, lowly lifestyles. Happy holidays!
Merry Christmas! Happy holidays!
I don't have to listen to anybody, John Cena. Nobody.
Except us.
You got something to say?
Who, me?
Yeah.
First of all, look. I get your obsession with the authority and not liking Hunter. Couldn't keep it up, could you? Anyway, now that's debatable. Now,
the showstopper.
Gee, you blew up. Shut your pie holes and let me finish. I got a car waiting. Anyway, look.
What up, y'all? This is Violent J from the Insane Clown Posse.
And this happens to be Shaggy Too Dope.
And you are listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK, baby.
And we're back. Hey, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I told you we're not breaking long. I'm the Cashman here with the RTs.
One bite of my honey bun.
Mark Fantasia and DC Dan Cole and you. And it's our last segment before it's before Christmas, so I want to wish you guys all a Merry Christmas and Happy Christmas and Happy whatever other holidays. There's no other holidays because Hanukkah happened at the beginning
of
the
month. You elitist.
Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanukkah. Yeah, something like that. But let's do some more real quick news before we get out of here and stop arguing about...
What?
Isn't it just appropriate, too, that each one of the guys, the different sized guys got the equivalent title belt that they would be going after? Like, you had the little guy, you know.
Get the X Division.
Get the X
DJ Zima Ion.
Yeah, DJ Zima Ion.
I wish I could do that noise.
I was actually cool with Gunnar winning the world title. Out of all those, I would have liked to maybe seen Chavo possibly win that world title, because then it would have been something different or a nice push for him. But
Chavo's
I'm okay
zero
with Gunnar
punch.
Winning the world title chance. I would not really be okay with him winning the world title.
Well, agreed.
And they also announced, I guess, this past week that TNA will not be doing their January, it was a Genesis pay-per-view. They're going to be doing the Lockdown one, will be the first one this year coming up.
Wait, what?
I think they said Lockdown. I can't remember. It was one. They didn't say I can't
Lockdown.
Remember. No, maybe it's not
Lockdown.
Because
isn't that April? That's one of the ones they actually still put on pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be on. That'll be the first one they're doing on pay-per-view this year. So they're doing three pay-per-view. They keep saying it's pay-per-view, but it's really TV, folks, you know. But nevertheless, now something that came down this week that was really cool is the WWE. Pepper Parks had a tryout last weekend in the Performance Center down there. We got to find out how he did. They actually invited him specifically. They only had like five guys they invited, and he was one of the guys they brought down. So that's a good sign.
It is. I mean, he's had a number of tryout matches and local jobber appearances from here to Ohio, and so
I remember sitting around with him one time when he wasn't used, and he was so depressed. So it was like
he's a good dude.
He's definitely good.
Always wish him well,
and he's got a beautiful wife too.
Indeed,
we saw her wrestle on TNA 2 weeks ago. So,
well, speaking of tryouts at the performance center. With the Funkadactyl's boyfriend. How did he do?
That's a good segue.
Segue.
Why are we not on the air for real now? That's a radio segue.
He has no cardio, and that's what happened. It was
that was horrible to watch.
It doesn't matter if he sits in the gym and he eats honey buns while he lifts weights.
I still think he is the third Basham brother.
All right, so whatever. She's not Ariane Cameron. Is not
all right. It's Cameron. I can never remember which
she's
one.
She's not the most attractive diva. Like I'll put Naomi way ahead of her.
Even with that big can.
That big can.
Wait can or
wait,
cans?
Wait. We're saying yeah. Wait, no, wait, we're saying it's a bad thing.
No. I'm just saying.
Hilarious.
No, she's a very. I mean, I like her a lot. She's got a lot of personality in that girl. And Ariana, on the other hand, is very annoying.
Oh my god.
Well, what Rich meant to say was, is baby got back.
Yes, big back, big can, yeah. Big.
And Daddy likes to mooch
the
off
rear
her.
View. Yeah. So that being said, and Ariane said some weird things on Total Divas about would she have a yeast infection or something?
Yeah, and she had to get carted away.
So, when she said that, I was just like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, you're not my favorite diva. But really, you're a WWE diva and you're dating that dude?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Like I'm, so, I would love for a girl to call in right now, and we're not even taking calls.
Yeah.
To tell me that that's an attractive dude, because...
What about Justin Gabriel? Remember JoJo? Whatever happened to her in the second half of this season?
She's a little too boring for the program.
She just disappeared.
Yeah,
you know?
Bye.
Well, because she was dating Randy Orton, but when we saw him in town here, he had definitely had another hot chick going to the bus with him, and it was not her.
JoJo's not good. The fact that she was in the WWE power rankings one week...
Yeah, it's scary. Her dad is Jose Offerman, and used to be a shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals a long, long time ago.
We need to get Joey Styles on the show... So I can vent, finally, to the guy that's in charge of .com for putting JoJo in the top 25.
She didn't even
tag into the match, and she's in the top 25.
Okay, wait. Can I segue while we're talking about .com?
Yeah. Salvatore's.
Salvatore's.com.
That's
no,
right.
Okay, I have to get this out. This has been killing me.
Okay.
So we just had the Slammy Awards. 2013 Slammy Awards. Match of the year, Rock and John Cena. WWE.com lists their best 25 best matches of 2013.
It's not in there.
It's not on the list.
It's not on the list. Actually,
it's not on the list. And the WWE website number one match of the year wasn't a nominee for the Slammies.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar and freaking CM Punk.
Yeah.
Yeah, number three was the only one that was on that list of four that we could vote for.
Number one, CM Punk, Brock Lesnar from SummerSlam. Number two was John Cena, Daniel Bryan, SummerSlam.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Number three
was the one that,
was Undertaker, CM Punk. And number four was nominated too. Number four was the Rhodes Brothers versus the Shield at Battleground.
Yes, and I would have voted for CM Punk and Undertaker of the four they offered us on the Slammies, Well, they changed the name of the damn belt. Okay, they let the people vote for it, and then they changed the name of the belt. What is it again, Rob?
The World Wrestling Wrestling World Entertainment World Heavyweight World Championship World
of the World.
Of the World. They're going to hear this, and they're going to say, we better change that.
I hope so.
Real quick, can I get one last gripe out? So at TLC, we're treated to a bonus match with Brodus Clay, where his team turns on him. And then Brodus Clay goes to Twitter and bashes his team, talks about how jealous they are, how backstabbers they are, how he's going to get them back. They scroll the tweet on Monday Night Raw when he's walking out with his team. Come on.
Wow, that's like
all I ask is a little continuity between what you do Sunday night and what you do Monday night.
There's no continuity. But at least they put their creative efforts into Total Divas, which now we can't see.
You got to stop hijacking this. We got to finish this up real quick. We'll do some real quick news. Big news
coming. We have no time limits.
Yes, we do, because we have someone coming up in the studio here in a few minutes. What we got to do real quick is there's going to be a big announcement in the beginning of January. WWE is going to announce that they're starting their network, and when that starts up.
Oh, what are we, in 2008 again?
No, but when they announce it, that's the noise they were using.
They're dubstep promos about how awesome the network was going to be.
When they announce it finally, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you the only way you can get these pay-per-views are going to be to have the network. So it's going to really change their business.
Oh, no, that's going
to
break my heart.
Well, it's going to – what about bars? What about what we're doing with the Salvatore?
So what we were just talking about and how they care on focusing more on Raw than the pay-per-view the night before anyway is just going to get 10 times worse.
I'll tell you what we could do, Rich. If they do that and we can't have pay-per-views at Salvatore's on Sunday night, what would be better?
What?
Danny's house. The night after Monday Night Raw at Salvatore's.
Well, we could do that. It'd keep me busy every Monday night,
I would go there anyway for...
Same here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure Monday Night Football is normally on there, but off football season.
There's enough TVs.
Yeah, believe me, football season 17 weeks. It's after that, there's nothing going on Monday
football
nights.
Season for us Bills fans about five.
Yeah,
that many?
Okay, we're going to go through some news real quick.
Aren't the Bills statistically eliminated after week one?
Okay, we talked about the network. It's going to be announced. They have a big date for it in July.
The E-Network?
Come on. Let me get to Las Vegas. They have a big meeting where they're going to be announcing it in the first week of January. So look for that. They said SmackDown may go live.
It's not going
to
happen.
They said SmackDown may go live. WWE's renegotiating all their deals with USA and Sci-Fi and stuff, and they want to get double the money they're getting right now. People think they're going to be able to get it. If they don't get it, they're going to shop to other networks. So it could be, but they're going to be on USA at least till October if they don't re-sign with them. I have a feeling USA re-signs with them because they make USA number one. They said if they leave USA, USA will drop to number five. So
even with Psych?
Yeah, with all that stuff. Yeah. So that you noticed the
Femme Nikita.
Did you notice the selfie on Monday Night Raw? I know Danny did. The selfie was done because Vince McMahon hates Barack Obama so much because he did that selfie at the
Nelson
funeral.
Mandela funeral.
Yeah, he did that, and that he felt that they should spoof it.
On current event.
Yeah, they
I
should.
Didn't know
Nelson Mandela died like a week and a half ago.
I knew that. Thank you. I did know that part.
Vince McMahon just likes him so much, so they had to do a selfie with those guys.
Which
is really really pitiful and bitter for someone to do something like that.
Let's show a million times how to download a freaking app, yet then you're going to do a selfie, but you don't even use your front-facing camera.
It was terrible. It was a side shot. Yeah, I know. It was terrible.
The best part was right after that, Big Show drooled horribly. I'm not sure if anybody called.
Yeah, he was down the middle of his face. Yeah.
The woman that Barack got in trouble.
I don't know if Michelle was more upset about the selfie or the woman.
Was she the Norwegian president or something like that? Yeah, I knew she was up there someplace.
Hello, Norway.
This past week, the Comedy Club Second City is fighting WWE trade trademarking Second City Saints. I don't know how they can do that.
Wait, they're trademarking Second City Saints.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Am I not supposed to read more into that?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's only one Second City Saint, and that's a CM Punk who works for him right now.
There's only currently one.
We'll see. We'll see. Also, Steve Austin's got a new reality show starting on the CMT Network in June. It's called Broken Skull Ranch, which is his place where he's going to have, like, guys do. It's kind of like that ninja show, you know, where they have to. You know, what was it, that ninja show where the guys had to do the crazy stuff?
American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, something like that, but it's like, you know, doing something like that, sort of, you know. But they win $10,000 a show, and they do, like, I think it's like an 8-week show or 10-week show. So that ought to be interesting. No notice on Hulk Hogan signing with anybody yet, though there is rumors now Batista will be back, and he's interested in coming back. We'll see, yes. And nothing.
Artis just punched his microphone.
Nothing for RVD coming down the line. It looks like he won't be back for WrestleMania this year. Royal Rumble is going to have 30 superstars, so maybe Luke Harper will make the Royal Rumble. We know for a fact that we talked before you got here, Mr. Artis, that they're going to put the belts on Rowan and Harper sometime either before the Royal Rumble or WrestleMania. They're going to go into one of those pay-per-views defending. So.
Well, I figured, I mean, when they started that feud with Cody Rhodes and Goldust, that eventually they would be the ones to take it and then obviously set up Cody against Goldust for WrestleMania.
And they've lost, and Goldust lost the last two bouts for them that were the last two matches on TV. Both of them were lost by Dustin. So you can see there's, you know, because the Big Show knocked out Dustin.
I was hoping Goldust was going to be the heel in that. But.
I think he is. I mean, he's getting beat and everything, but I would assume he's going to be the heel. Some other real quick news, the WWE Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery is going to be released on Blu-ray and DVD March 25th. I know you cannot wait.
Wait, what?
They're doing an animated Scooby-Doo called WrestleMania Mystery. It's a movie. John Cena's in.
Hold on, breaking. WrestleMania Mystery, $13.99. 1 hour, 12 minutes. March 25th is so far away.
Scooby-Doo. beyond that, there's nothing else really that much news. So when we get out of here.
Total Divas season finale was Sunday night.
It was. It was, you know. And what'd you think?
You know, I thought Daniel Bryan did a great job with his proposal
to
Brie Bella.
Yes. And the dinner afterwards.
Yeah.
That was classy.
Do you like how Nikki wants to have a baby now? And they left that as a cliffhanger.
So
no JoJo, though. What the heck?
JoJo is so irrelevant.
Well,
but,
you know what? I mean, what about Eva Marie? What do you think about her? I mean, they're pushing her all over the place. It's a very, very good-looking woman. I don't like the red hair still. I like it back when she first showed up with the brown hair. It was just cute then.
We'll see if she can ever wrestle.
Oh, okay, we got to get out of here. We got another hour coming up with Gary Mervis, which will be tagged on to the end of this show. So I want to thank you guys for listening. And if you know, we're going to talk Cancer Mission 2020 as well as Good Days and Special Camp Good Days and Special Times. But we got to get out of here. Thank you, Mr. Artis, for making it. Thank you, DC Dan Cole and Mark Fantasia. And we will talk to you in just a little bit.
Thank you for listening.
And by the way, we got if you're listening just to the wrestling portion, we've got JB on with us live next week as well as Mick Foley in 2 weeks. He's going to be coming on with us to promote his Rochester stop. He'll be stopping Rochester to do his one-man show. I'm not even going to call it a comedy show. I'll call it a one-man show. You know, even though he did, when we saw him, he had the girl come out doing Ric Flair, or was it DDP? It was DDP. Mm-hmm. Jen Bludsworth.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she came out dressed up like Paige.
It was hilarious.
All right, we'll be back next week. We'll see you. Thanks for listening. We're out of here.
I respect the hell out of you. Everybody does. It's the reason you're getting a pass for last week. Hell, I think 15-year-old me is stoked that you kicked me in the face. You're Shawn Michaels, the showstopper, HBK. I can look past dancing around in assless chaps, but if you ever try to kick me again, I'm going to kick you back.
Hello there, all you fans. This is Tom Billington, the Dynamite Kid, and you are now listening to the Pain Clinic. Thank you very much, and God bless all of you.
Leave that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain? We'll be right back.
Good morning, wrestling fans. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 21st. Special day today. We're going to do something a little bit different. We've done this the last couple of years, but I want to, before I get to what we're doing, I'll let you know a couple of holidays today. It's National Flashlight Day as well as Look on the Bright Side Day, which is probably kind of appropriate for today. And, of course, the last holiday today is Humbug Day, but, you know, bah to them, you know, that's what I say. But, hey, welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, and Mark Fantasia. And we have a special guest in the studio. It's I think it's the third or fourth year in a row we've been doing this. It's Gary Mervis from Camp Good Days and Special Times. Gary, thank you for joining us again this year.
Well, thank you for helping to keep this tradition going.
I love it. I love it. And Gary's come. Camp Good Days and Special Times is his organization. And Cancer Mission 2020 is the website, right?
Well, campgooddays.org is the website, but also Cancer Mission is an initiative that we're kind of spearheading to help try to find the answers to cancer by 2020, and that website is cancermission2020.com.
And you can make donations to the campgooddays.org, right?
Absolutely. To either one, you can do it to campgooddays.org right online. It's secure. And obviously every dollar helps.
As we're speaking right now, the Pain Clinic guys, we all put money together and we're putting $100 in, we're donating $100 to the campgooddays.org, and we challenge anybody who loves this show, loves the world of professional wrestling, and maybe has been touched by cancer in their life. I mean, everybody has, it's pretty obvious, to donate, to follow us. We're starting with $100, so come on guys, keep on trying. But I want to thank you for Gary for coming up, and it's been a year since we talked to you. So how's the Cancer Mission 2020 coming along?
We're doing really well. I mean, we've had people have joined us in 95 different countries. All 50 states have come to our website, signed our online petition, or have signed one of the hard copy petitions at events where we had people there with the Cancer Mission 2020 petitions. Cancer Mission 2020 was really born out of a lot of frustration. For the first 30-some-odd years of Camp Good Days, nothing we did in any way could be associated with finding a cure for cancer. Everything was about what could we do today to improve the quality of life for children and families that were already afflicted. Because I honestly believed when I started Camp Good Days that I wouldn't have to go to any more funerals in my lifetime and watch parents bury their child as I did, instead of the way it should be, children burying their parents after hopefully living to a ripe old age. And in 2009, which was our 30th year, coincidentally, I was at 9 funerals of our campers, and the last one was a little 12-year-old boy from Spencerport, who was the same age as my daughter Teddy was when she lost her battle, with the exact same brain tumor that my daughter had. And, you know, I got in the car and I said to my wife, Wendy, I said, you know, Wendy, I don't know if that's going to happen in my lifetime. You know, why all these years later am I still going to so many funerals? And so I started calling up people who I'd met over those 30 years and just about every major cancer treatment center in the United States and Canada. And I said, just between you and I, you know, why am I still going to so many funerals? Every week in the mail at the office or at my home, I would get invitations to speak at an event or make a donation to an event that all had to find a cure, for a cure. And I'm sitting here because I would support as many of those as I could with my time and with my money. And I wondered, you know, why am I still going to so many funerals? And what I heard at the other end of the phone was not at all what I had expected. And I became very frustrated. So then I called back some people who I consider friends. And I said, you know, if I get involved in this effort, I don't want to just be shoveling air. Do you really believe that we have the ability to find the answers? And almost to a person, using different words, but they all basically said the same thing. Gary, we have the ability, but you're going to really have to do two things. One, we got to create a will in the American people that they want cancer on the front burner. And two, we got to go about it in a completely different way. And that really struck a chord with me. And I'm saying, what do you mean? And one of these people, Brian Monahan, who's a very interesting guy, is a rear admiral in the Navy. He's the attending physician of both houses of Congress and the justices of Supreme Court. And prior to his current assignment, he was the director of the U.S. Naval Hematology Medical Oncology Facility. He's a trained oncologist. And he said, Gary, you know, whenever we talk about real progress that we've made, we talk about certain forms of childhood cancer that as recently as the 1960s and 70s were 100% fatal. Today, the parents of a child diagnosed with one of those forms of cancer would be told that your child has an 80% chance of being a long-term survivor, and not in the traditional sense of 5 years from date of diagnosis or 2 years off of any kind of treatment. We're still following these individuals, and hopefully they're going to grow to a ripe old age and die of something other than their cancer. And he said the reason is because 65 to 70% of all pediatric oncology patients are actively involved in clinical trials. And he said, Gary, clinical trials are where the answers are going to come from. No matter how good something appears in a laboratory with mice or rats, until you can show it's going to have a positive impact on human beings, it's never going to get approved and it's never going to get into the hands of the people that need it. And then he said, what percentage of adult cancer patients are actively involved in clinical trials in the United States? And I said 35, 40%. He said, try 1 to 3%. Well, if the answers are going to come from clinical trials and only 1 to 3% of all adult cancer patients in the United States are actively involved in clinical trials, it's pretty easy to understand why we lose 11,000 Americans a week die of cancer. 11,000 Americans a week. Think of that like one of the Twin Towers is falling every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and that's cancer in the United States. So we decided that we would do something, and we formed Cancer Mission 2020, and it's really composed of three parts. The first part was information, getting the information out to whoever would listen as to where we are today with cancer in the United States. The second is a call to action, and the third phase is accountability.
All right. And, you know, we all have been touched personally by cancer. In fact, I'm a cancer survivor for, 11 years now.
God bless.
Yeah. The money that goes to the, you know, campgooddays.org and Cancer Mission 2020, those are all things that, you know, like you mentioned there about the trials and stuff. I'm on a medication now that was in trial when I was first diagnosed that now is the standard treatment for, I have a chronic myelogenous leukemia, and it keeps it in check, and it's just two pills a day I take. I've been doing it for 11 years. It's kept me in remission for 11 years, and when I first was diagnosed, they didn't have this medication, and my doctor said, you know, 5 years, at maybe 5 to 10 at best, you know, and at 10 years, I just celebrated. I guess I'm borrowed time now, but the technology has gone, you know, this is down to the molecular level and the way
Absolutely.
That they're fighting this stuff, and they are making leaps and bounds, but we could do so much better.
Well, absolutely, and it's such an exciting time for cancer research because, you know, it's just within the last 6 or 7 years that we start now to be more individualized treatment for the cancer, trying to take advantage of the patient's own immune system as part of the treatment protocol. So instead of just having a standardized protocol, once your disease was diagnosed, this was the treatment protocol, and everybody got it. And now we've begun to individualize things where they'll even take out part of the person's tumor. They'll look at it under a microscope, try different treatments, and when they see something is work, that's what they'll then give back to the individual. Things like bone marrow transplants that were very experimental when I started Camp Good Days are now, you know, almost standard procedures. And when I first started Camp Good Days, if someone was going to undergo a bone marrow transplant, they literally would have to go to New York City, Boston, the Midwest, or even out to the West Coast. And their families would be separated because if the bone marrow transplant took, they could be separated from 60 to 90 days. Where today, thank God, we can do transplants right here at the University of Rochester Medical Center, and families don't have to be separate and apart. You know, mothers don't have to be with their child that's sick, and dad now has to be both a mother and father to the child's brothers and sisters. There's some exciting things happening, but again, it takes emphasis of people pushing those powers to be and putting cancer on the front burner, and it takes the dollars. But you're absolutely right about every one of us, directly or indirectly, has been touched by this disease. I mean, those 11,000 Americans don't live in a vacuum. That's somebody's mother or father, brother, sister, husband, wife, or like in my case, a child. A few years ago, I think it was, well, right about the time we started doing this, maybe 4.5, 5 years ago, I get a call one day from a friend of mine who used to be the chief of the adolescent unit at Roswell Park in Buffalo. And he moved from Roswell down to St. Joseph's Cancer Institute in Tampa, Florida. And he would have an annual dinner for the supporters of his hospital. And he had asked a doctor we had worked with at Roswell, who had moved to St. Jude's, to be his guest speaker. And he gets a call 2 days before from the doctor's wife saying he had to have an emergency appendectomy. And so Dr. Tubby calls me up in Rochester, and he says, Gary, do you know that AirTran has a direct flight from Rochester to Tampa? And he says, I'm looking at a ticket with your name on it. And he tells me the jam he's in, and so I agreed to go down and be the speaker that night. And when my wife dropped me off the airport, I picked up 3 copies of USA Today, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times. And among those 3 papers, there were 9 pages of articles devoted to the pending swine flu pandemic. And I couldn't find one article about something new that we were doing to try to find the answers to this disease that takes 11,000 of our loved ones every week. So when I got up to speak that night, I said to the audience, we're going to do a little impromptu survey. I said, how many of you here tonight, yourselves, someone in your family, someone you go to church, work, synagogue, mosque, or church with, has been touched by the swine flu? And, of course, a few people smiled. No hands went up. And I think some people were probably wondering, who did Dr. Tubby get to be the speaker? And then I said, cancer. And almost every hand went up. And I said, isn't it strange that here are these 3 major newspapers, and there were all these pages today devoted to this pending swine flu, and not a single article about something new that we were doing to find the answers to this disease that touches 11,000 of our loved ones every week? And that's really illustrated the challenge that we have to get cancer on the front burner. It's almost like we have just begun to accept it as something that we have to deal with, and nothing could be farther from the truth.
All right. Well, you know, we're going to take a break here real quick. I want to let people know that they can go to, we have already started the ball rolling by donating $100 from the Pain Clinic to the campgooddays.org. Go there. There's a little flag that says donate. Click on that. It'll take you to exactly where you want to go. But we got a commercial break we got to get out of the way. And we'll be back on the flip side. You were listening with Gary Mervis, joining a special holiday Christmas time. It always seems we have you up here. And you know, the best thing is that you're so knowledgeable and everything. And then also Soccer Sam brings up a ton of food, too, which is pretty good, too. I'm not going to complain about that. But we'll be back after these most important messages. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
You can do that, too. Camp Good Days, P.O. Box 665. That's 1332. Pittsford Mendon Road, Mendon, New York 14506, and I will do that a few times during the show if you didn't get it the first time. But please give what you can, and if you do give, why don't you give us a call and you know, maybe relate some stories how cancer's touched your life. Gary is a wonderful man. Gary, tell us a little bit about the kazoos that are going for sale right now.
Well, if you happen to be in any one of the malls over the next few days, as like me, a last-minute shopper.
Me too. There are going to be thousands of people
I'm
there.
I'm leaving from here and going my
me too.
Shop. And I've done this for the last, I think, ever since we started this. But you'll see by the entrance to JCPenney's, the mall entrance, you'll see our kazoo volunteers and a kazoo table. And this, too, is a Rochester tradition that for those people who have lived in Rochester all their lives, they can remember Years and years ago, we had this department store called Sibley's down on Main Street. And, you know, like all the department stores all over the country, the holiday season was a time that they used to decorate all their window displays, and they had a Toyland and obviously Santa Claus. And I can remember as a little boy, my mother would dress up my brother and I, and we'd go downtown, and one of the stops was we had to go to Toyland at Sibley's. And there used to be this gentleman who'd be right outside the entrance to the Toyland, and he had this trombone-style kazoo, and he had Gene Autry's version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the record player, and he'd be humming the kazoo to it. And he would sell these kazoos, and he had done it for many, many years. And in 1982, unfortunately, he was diagnosed with, I think it was lung cancer. And when he was going to the hospital to receive his treatment, it used to have a real impact on him when he would see children coming in for their treatment. And so after he lost his battle to cancer, his family wanted to do something, so they had memorial donations go to Camp Good Days. And then his son, Bill Benet, was a county legislator at the time. And he came to me one day and said, would I go with him to talk to the management and Sibley's and see if they would donate the space and we would man it with volunteers and use it as a fundraiser for Camp Good Days. And at first I wasn't, you know, sure because I remembered his dad, but not... You know, I'm not musically talented, and but I found out that kazoo is the one instrument that I can play. Once I learned that you don't blow in it, you hum in it. And so we went. I went with him, and that year we started at the Sibley's at their downtown store. And I think it was the second year they let us branch out to their mall stores. And we've been doing it now since then. So it's about 30 years or so that Camp Good Days has been doing this every holiday season to help keep this Rochester tradition. And I think it's a tradition that began over 60 years ago in Rochester, and we've helped keep it going every summer. So if you're out at the mall, please stop by. The kazoo table is a great place to purchase your kazoo, or we have candy cane pens that smell like the ink smells like peppermint. We have some ornaments that the children made at camp. But also you can pick up information about our many programs and services so that if you or someone in your family or you work with has been touched by cancer, you could refer them to it, because I made a promise 35 years ago that all of the programs and services that Camp Good Days would provide would be provided free of charge to the participants. So money is no obstacle, and you can get that information at our kazoo table, as well as volunteer opportunities that are available with Camp Good Days.
There's lots of things you guys do. You know, you have the summer camp, I have the paperwork here right in front of me. There's just so many things.
Yeah, that's the biggest part of our program is our summers. We have our own beautiful camp on the shores of Keuka Lake in the village of Branchport, and we literally will start using it on weekends in May, and we go right up through sometime in October when we begin to close the seasonal part of the camp down.
Yeah, and there's like so much. I mean, there's, you know, they're on a lake. It's beautiful, and there's lots of. Someone told me they had a bouncy house there too, I guess. Or they have, like, you know, all different things.
Yeah, we have all kind. We have this bouncing pillow, which is really kind of cool, and we have our own ropes course, which has 20 something different challenges from on the ground to 40 feet in the air. We have an in-ground swimming pool. We've got water frontage right on Keuka Lake. That's all kinds of aquatics activities. We have a wonderful nature, a music and drama program, sports and games. It truly is a beautiful camp. It's accredited by the American Camping Association. And like I said, the best part of all, it's free of charge to the participants, because I never wanted a family that was already dealing with why did my child get cancer to then have to go through the financial anxiety of, can I let my child go to Camp Good Days or make the car payment on time or the rent payment or mortgage payment. Because what happens to these families is even if they have good insurance, one of the parents, if they're fortunate to have both parents, is going to take a leave of absence or cut back on the number of hours that they work to be the primary caregiver. And it's almost 95% of the time it's mom. So the family income drops, but the mortgage or rent payment stays the same. The car payment stays the same. And so these families would have to dip into their savings. And once their savings were exhausted, and after they called up all their friends and relatives to borrow money, their only alternative was to claim bankruptcy. And I said, I never wanted Camp Good Days to be the cause of that. So I said every program and service would be provided free of charge. And I'd have to, if I'm honest, I have to tell you that over the years, I wish I could say I was drunk when I made that promise, because it was one thing for the first summer for 63 kids, but now you put 1,500 campers a summer through.
Wow.
And it's a lot of fundraising that we have to do.
That is.
So that every dollar that people donate to Camp Good Days really makes a difference, and it helps us, and it helps us to be able to keep that promise.
And you go to campgooddays.org, and you can hit that little donation flag there. Like I said, the pain clinic started all with 100. You guys give what you can, please. You know, we're a professional wrestling talk show, and I know that you've had some famous people stop down at Camp Good Days before.
We really did. When we were on Canandaigua Lake for 8 years, we rented the YWCA camp at the time on Canandaigua Lake, and we had Randy Macho Man Savage come with his wife or friend Elizabeth. They both came to camp and spent a whole better part of a day with our kids. And then we had Roddy Rowdy Piper come to one of our talking sports. And you know, it's amazing how cancer touched both their lives,
sure,
too.
Yeah,
so when you talk about, you know, here are guys who, you know, are great athletes. I mean, whatever you think about wrestling, the wrestlers are great athletes to start with, because nobody could go through the shows they put on without being athletes. And, you know, here are two prominent wrestlers that cancer had touched them directly. And so it's something that touches all of us.
In fact, Roddy was he's a lymphoma survivor.
Yeah, he is. And he had gone through some tough times, because when he was here, he'd tell his story. I'll never forget that. We had we do these talking sports events where they're real informal. We ask people to dress like they would dress going to a ball game or an event, and we serve foods that you would eat
at a
stadium. Hot
dogs. I was there. Yeah. I was there.
And we had Sam, I think it was Sam Cassell.
Yep,
from
Sam Cassell.
The NBA, who also was there. The two of them had never met each other, but it was real interesting to listen to the audience ask them questions. And amazingly, the amount of respect they had for each other, which was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, Roddy Piper was telling a whole story about how wrestling actually kind of saved his life, because he was working for the WWE at the time, and he had to be before you wrestle, you have to have a doctor go through and do like simple tests on you to make sure you can actually, you know, go into the ring, like make sure your blood pressure is normal. And then he actually discovered he had a lymphoma in his system right before a match, and he had to, you know, get out. They got him out of it pretty quick, but his profession actually discovered his problem, and he actually went into treatment, and he's clean now. And he was, what a great guest. He actually came up and hung out with us that day before the event, and he was just a wonderful, you know, nice guy. He had said he'd come on the red eye, and so he had like not slept a wink before he walked in, and he was telling jokes, and he was, you know, it was
similar
great
story to the Matt Capitelli situation too.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, with the chair shot that.
Yeah, Matt Capitelli, a friend of ours who worked for the minor leagues for the WWE. He was about to get put on Monday Night Raw. He was already to debut on national TV, and he took a chair shot to the head and had a blackout. And because of that, they took him to the hospital, and they found that he had a tumor in his brain. And after 6 years of treatment, he's doing great to this day. But it kind of killed his career in wrestling. But he's still a physical masterpiece. I mean, he is, you know, he's very athletic, and he's a great guy too. And he had a close encounter. I mean, obviously, you know, he was about to become, you know, have his dream come true in his life, is to join the WWE, and then unfortunately, that happened to him. But, you know, it's great when these guys, and you said Randy Macho Man Savage just kind of showed up. It was out of the blue, and no one, he just came, you know. And
one of the, I think from my recollection's correct, and I don't, I'm not 100% sure because this was a few years ago, but I think it was actually one of the Ontario County sheriff's deputies who had told him about it. And next thing you know, they show up in a nice limousine, and it was the kids were in awe, you know, because nobody ever really expected that. And it was a day that for those children that were there and those volunteers that were there, it's a day that they probably will never forget.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, and this guy's over the top, his character as it was, and, you know, perfect for kids and stuff like that. That's a great story, and that, those are the kind of things that if you go to CampGoodDays.org and donate your money towards. Remember, Gary said that they don't charge anybody. I mean, this is all built on fundraising. That's how the kids get to do that. And I mean, you said 1,500. That's a lot of kids. That's, you know, wow.
Well, over the years since we started, it's close to 45,000 campers from 28 different countries and 22 different states have been a part of Camp Good Days. And I know sometimes I go places and people, they say, oh, I'm tired of hearing about Camp Good Days. I mean, you're constantly out there, constantly doing things. But when I tell them that here we are, you know, like now, just finished our 34th summer, and no one has ever had to pay a nickel. No family has had to make that decision that as long as they qualified, they were welcome. You know, people then understand that, obviously, it takes a lot of money to be able to do that. But also volunteers.
Yeah.
I mean, our base, the counselors at our camping programs in the summer that are actually in the cabins with the campers are volunteers. The same way that it was the very first year we had camp up in the Adirondack Mountains. So, you know, volunteers are also the lifeline. And, you know, I sometimes feel like I'm the Marine Corps. I'm always looking for a few good men or women. So if you, at this time of year, as people begin to assess this past year and make some changes in their life for the new year, maybe one of those New Year's resolutions is you and your family want to volunteer or do more volunteering. Camp Good Days is a great place to start.
Definitely. We got to go to break on that. You can go to campgooddays.org if you want to make a money donation to hit the donate flag on the front page. If you want to mail it, you know, Camp Good Days at P.O. Box 665, 1332 Pittsford Mendon Road, Mendon, New York, 14506. We'll be back on the flip side with Gary Mervis. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bell chime in, jingle bell time, dancing and...
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man here with the Artiste, DC Dan Cole, Mark Fantasia, and Gary Mervis from Camp Good Days and Special Times, Inc., as well as CampGoodDays.org. Just go and give what you can. Go hit the donate and give what you can. Anything is great. Even your volunteer at your time, like Gary said earlier, not only does it depend on the donations, but it depends on the volunteers, too. And if you can give time, that's great. Check out Cancer Mission 2022. This is kind of a terrible Christmas song. Father Christmas, give us some money.
I got me excited. I like the song.
I know. I like the song, too. But it's
not to be a Scrooge, but there are worse Christmas songs.
Santa baby.
Oh, that'll be coming up next.
But classic.
Gary, so great to have you up here. And, you know, did we really get into how you got involved in all this to start? I mean, you did do a little bit of about Cancer Mission 2020 and everything. But, you know, do people really, you know, I mean, the Teddy Project and how that all started?
Well, actually, it started back in... on a beautiful May day. In fact, it was opening day for the Rochester Red Wings in 1979. And I had gone to the ball game, and I had to go to work that night in our office in East Rochester. I was working for the state government at the time. And I stopped by my house to see how everybody was before I went to my office hours at night. And my wife said that Teddy seemed to not be feeling well, that she thought she was coming down with the flu, and So I went in to check on her in her room, and she was just scared stiff. Her eye kept twitching, her arm, and she was frightened because she couldn't stop it. So we called her pediatrician, and her pediatrician said, call an ambulance, and which we did, and the ambulance came, and we were following the ambulance, and my biggest fear was that she might be diagnosed with epilepsy. And we get to the emergency room, and they tried to get the seizure to subside, and then they wanted to find out what had caused the seizure, so she underwent a number of tests. They decided to keep her in the hospital. And to make a long story short, she was diagnosed with a malignant brain tumor, and when she had the surgery, which was in early May, it was April when we took her to the hospital, but it was early May when she had the surgery, and she had 7.5 hours of a craniotomy, and when they got all done, her neurosurgeon, Dr. Nelson, said they couldn't get it all, that he did the best he could, and now they wanted to start 8 weeks of radiation treatment every day. And I said to Dr. Nelson, I said, is Teddy going to be alive at Christmas? And he looked at me and said, Mr. Mervis, I'm not God. And, you know, my career had taken me out of town quite a bit. And, you know, and as young parents, you want it to be better for your children than it was for you. And in order to do that, you got to work. And my work would take me to Albany. And, you know, I can remember those nights in January and February driving back on the thruway, and I'm following an 18 with the lights of an 18-wheeler and hoping that that man or woman driving the truck had enough rest, because if they were to go off the road, I'd be going right off after them, because that's the way I got home. And, you know, you're saying there's better ways to make a living, but, you know, you wanted it to be better for your kids. And so I was thinking about where they were going to go to college or what kind of weddings my daughters were going to have. I never expected to be told that my youngest, who was 9 at the time, he had a malignant brain tumor. So when a child gets diagnosed with cancer, as I said earlier, and they're fortunate to have both parents, which isn't always the case anymore, now one of them will take a leave of absence or cut back how much they work to become the primary caregiver, to take the child to their many doctor's appointments, sit up in clinic with them, be there when they can't do a lot physically. And in our case, I selfishly wanted it to be me, because I wanted to spend time with my little girl. And it soon became very evident that the toughest part of Teddy's battle was not the craniotomy or the 8 weeks of radiation or the chemotherapy that followed that. It was the loneliness. Because, like most 9-year-olds, Teddy's world was what she could see and hear. And she was the only one at the time in that world that was dealing with cancer. She was the only one in her entire elementary school. And, of course, what is a dad's first order business? Be able to protect your kids. And here is your daughter, you know, looking up at you, and daddy can do anything, you know, looking with her eyes up at me that, you know, daddy can fix this. And you realize real quickly that no matter how much you would like to hug her and make the boo-boo go away, that this was ultimately going to be Teddy's battle and left up to a higher power. And I can tell you that there were times I used to walk out of Teddy's bedroom, go in the bathroom, lock the door, and grab a stack of towels and just break down and cry, because she's looking to me to try to help her understand, and I don't understand why this is all happening. And I wanted very much to find a vehicle so Teddy would realize that she wasn't the only one that was dealing with this thing called cancer. And also to give her back some of that special time in all of our lives called childhood. When we have that sense of invincibility, we're going to live forever, and there's nothing we can't do. And no child at 9 years of age should have to come face to face with their own mortality, of realizing that there's something inside of you that could prematurely take your life. You don't look at life the same after that. And neither do your brothers and sisters, and neither does mom and dad. So I heard about a doctor in Michigan who was a pediatric oncologist with the Upjohn Corporation in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and he had taken the cancer patients from the clinic at the hospital, and they rented an outdoor education center that was owned by the YMCA in Jackson, Michigan, because he wanted to give the doctors and nurses to see the children away from the sterile environment of a hospital, where in order to help them, sometimes they had to induce some real discomfort and pain. And they wanted the kids to be able to see them when they weren't wearing their white coats and they were out in a different environment. And there was a little segment, how I learned about it, there was a little segment on the Today Show. And I see these kids that I immediately knew were being treated for cancer. And they're sitting around a campfire singing songs, and they're fishing in a pond, and all I could think of was I wanted to give Teddy that experience. So I had to be in Albany that day, and I'm driving to Albany, and the entire time I'm thinking about how can I get Teddy to go to this program. So when I got to Albany, I said to my assistant at the time, was a young lady named Kathleen Rose, and she would have put the television Detective Columbo to shame. And I said to Kathleen, did you see the Today Show? And she hadn't seen it. And I told her about it, and then I went about my business. And when I came back, she left me a little note taped to my chair, and it said, I called the Today Show, and they're going to send you a copy of what you saw this morning. I tracked down the reporter in Salt Lake City, Utah, and I gave him the telephone number and the motel where you're staying, and I asked him if he please wouldn't give you a call. And to his credit, he called me, and in talking to him for about a half hour and listening to the excitement in his voice about what he had witnessed as a third person, I knew even more I wanted Teddy to have that opportunity. So he gave me the name of the head nurse, and when I tracked her down, she gave me the name of the doctor who started the program, and his name was Dr. George Royer. And I called him and learned that his was only the third program of its kind in the country, that we didn't have anything in the Northeast. And so I said to Dr. Royer, what's it going to take to get you to come to Rochester? And he was going to be in Buffalo on business. So I arranged to drive to Buffalo, pick him up, bring him back here. And the next morning at the Rochester Academy for Medicine on East Avenue, I invited friends, people who, when they heard about Teddy's diagnosis, would come up and say, is there anything we can do? And of course, you learn real quickly, those that you think might have an inroad upstairs, you ask them to include Teddy and our family and their prayers, but everyone else, you would tell them thanks, but, you know, everything's all going okay. And I began calling those people. Say, remember when you made that nice offer? Well, now I have something you can do, not only for Teddy, but for a lot of other children. So we had over 100 people at 11 o'clock on a Thursday morning at the Rochester Academy for Medicine, and Camp Good Days was born. We didn't have a name. We didn't have any money. We didn't have any volunteers, and if I'm really honest, we didn't have any campers, because once I got the idea, it gave me something to do, but I hadn't even really sat down with Teddy and asked her if she wanted to go to camp, but it gave me something to do, and we didn't have a doctor, and we didn't have a camp, and that August, we had our first camp. We had 63 children, 21 from Buffalo, 21 from Rochester, and 21 from Syracuse. And we used this private boys and girls camp on Fourth Lake called Camp Eagle Cove. And I included right from the get-go these children in Buffalo and Syracuse, because I wanted Teddy to realize there were, here were all these children in all these faraway places that also were dealing with cancer. And the rest is history. It's just had logarithmic kind of growth. And now we have our own beautiful camp, as I said, on Keuka Lake. And a lot of the programs and services that we started here at Camp Good Days have been used as models by other childhood cancer treatment centers and organizations, not only throughout the United States and Canada, but literally all over the world.
It's a great, great program, and we know we got to take a break. But I mean, you know, your dedication to this—I mean, this pretty much went from an idea to all encompassing your life, pretty much.
It is, you know, I look back and say, where did those 34 years go? I mean, it seems like, you know, if you would have said to me you know, 34 years ago, you had this magic ball you could see in the future and told me that this is what I would be doing, I would have told you to go back to bed because it wasn't anything I ever saw myself doing.
Well, it is, you know, it's a wonderful thing, and it's, you know, inspired by love from your heart. So it was, you know, folks, if you want to donate to campgooddays.org, go to campgooddays.org, sorry, and hit the donation flag. I said the pain clinic kicked it off with $100. You know, match us, you know, or give what you can. Give us a call. Tell us how cancer's, you know, affected your life and, you know, why you want to donate. And this is a great program. So we'll be back. We're going to go to break. We'll be back on the flip side. A little more Christmas music in and out, but it is the season, folks. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
For Christmas, here can play on.
Good girl.
There you go, Mark. Mark Fantasia. Welcome back to the Pain Click. I'm the Cash Man, Mark Fantasia, the artiste, DC Dan Cole, and special guest, Camp Good Days organizer, Camp Good Days founder, Gary Mervis, as well as Cancer Mission 2020. You want to go donate money, go to campgooddays.org. Click the flag that says donate. Give what you can. You know, we've already started off with $100. I want to see if you guys can get some money, too, from the show. We want to thank you for listening. And, Gary, it's great to have you join us again this year. I know I was going to touch on the Courage Bowl, but you know what? There's other sports shows on after us you're going to be with, so I'm sure Devo will bring it up or, you know, but it was just a couple weeks ago, wasn't it, the Courage Bowl?
Yeah, this year was the latest that it's ever been. It was Courage Bowl 9, and we held it in November. I think it was November 16th, and it was our last regular season game, and, you know, we were a little nervous what the weather would be like. And it turned out that the good Lord blessed us with a beautiful, beautiful day. And Alfred was our opponent this year, and it turned out to be a great game, and it allowed us to keep the Courage Bowl going. And, of course, we have big plans for next year and for the foreseeable future.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm glad it kept going on. There was some. It was up in the air a little bit a couple of years ago, but you know, like I said, I'll let Devo talk more about that with you because we're, you know, but you know, the talking sports. When you guys started doing that, what made you want? You know, I mean, was that just like an experiment and see what you know, like a in between, like fundraisers kind of, you know, like, you know, because you guys got to go 12 months out of the year to mm-hmm. fundraise, and this is like kind of off season almost when you did them in the summertime. Is that how that all started?
Well, we do take the time, you know, we kind of divide our year up into two parts from about the 1st of May to the end of October. We pretty much concentrate on our camping programs, our residential and our day camp programs. And then, you know, from about the 1st of November through the end of April is the time when we do most of our recruiting for our summer volunteers, our camp volunteers, our volunteer training. And that's when we do a lot of our major fundraising activities. So it one of those things, because I love sports, but I like going when you would bring in someone who could share stories about their sport. I hate to go to the typical dinner because, you know, everybody's sitting there and the athlete or the guest gets maybe 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and it's done, you know, as far as them. So I said, let's do an informal kind of event where people come and they ask questions. The audience can ask, that's the time. And as long as the questions keep going and it's interesting, we keep it going. There's no set time. And we've had some great people over the years. We had, you know, Don Zimmer came in one time, and he did a great job. Jerry West did a great job. I mean, there was some really, really good. Buddy Ryan. That was a great night. We've had some great, great people over the years that have come. Bucky Dent. And it was really nice to Tommy Lasorda, Jim Valvano.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Over the years. So we've had some great people come in, and it's been a great event. I love that event. And we've had everybody from, you know, football players, baseball players, track and field, golfers, And wrestlers.
And the professional wrestlers.
It's kind of nice.
Well, it's great to see, like, all the, I mean, the celebrities and the sports players. I mean, I know kind of growing up in Rochester, you always would hear of Camp Good Days and everything. And I know Daniel Briere, who played for the Sabres, was very involved.
Big
he was here.
Big
and then
supporter.
I went to college in Philly, and he got traded to the Flyers. And I still would always see him in the Camp Good Days hats and everything,
yeah,
spreading
still,
the word down
he
there.
He kept raising money for us. When he went to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, he was, and you know, you'd see him in street clothes, and he looked like, you know, that guy's not that hockey player that's out there. You know,
yeah.
And, you know, he was great with our kids. I mean, he did a great job. The Sabres, you know, literally are great with our kids. They still do things and players, and they just have been great friends, especially to our campers in Buffalo.
You know, people, you know, can stretch it all across the country. You know, they get traded from Buffalo or whatever, and, you know,
spread the word.
Spread, definitely.
Well, Lindsey Rock, he's keeping his home in Buffalo, and he's been out to camp in the summer. He has a daughter that has cancer who was one of our campers, and then she worked for us during the summer, and he's just the neatest guy, and anything that he could do, he always did for our campers and for Camp Good Days.
Very cool. I was going to ask you about the dance-a-thon they have at St. John Fisher every year.
Yeah, the Dance for Love.
Yeah,
Teddy Dance. Yeah, it'll be coming up in February.
And it's been, I mean, I had a friend of mine when I first got into radio years ago, a friend of mine, Father Steve Lape, who I worked with, was like always involved in it, and every year, and then we're talking like 20 years ago. So
it's actually going to be, I think it's their 32nd.
Holy cow! Wow,
it's the longest running tradition at Fisher, and it's just something to see because it's all organized and put together by the students themselves, and they do a phenomenal job. I know in the fall during football season, I always would get invited to come to one of their Teddy committees, meetings. And it's the only place in the world where they start the meetings at 9:30 at night is on a college campus because of night classes and stuff. And so I remember the first year I was invited was right after our season was over. So I came home from work, and I'm sitting there in front of the TV and looking over the mail, and all of a sudden I realized what time it was. And so I got up and I put my coat on, and my wife said to me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I got to go to a meeting." She says, "What meeting starts after 9 o'clock at night?" And I said, "I go over Fisher." So when I got over there and I spoke to the committee, I said, "Before I go, you guys got to do me a favor." I said, "You got to give me a note I can take home to my wife." I was actually at this meeting. But it's amazing. You go, and they have over 150 people on their committee. They do everything from the publicity to organizing the event to the selecting the music, getting some live entertainment, some disc jockeys, and they sell ads for an ad book. They just do a tremendous job. And for me, it's probably the best 24 hours of the entire year because, you know, to every parent, your child's important. And Lou Bettino, who wrote the book For the Love of Teddy, in there he says, immortality is being loved by anonymous people. And when I go to the Teddy Dance, it can be freezing cold outside. It's always so warm inside. And the students will start calling out, "Teddy, Teddy, Teddy." And what a tremendous gift that they give to her old man, you know, me. And because they've helped keep her memory going. And these are students that weren't even born when Teddy was alive. So it's a real special event. And over the years, these kids have done a great job, not only in helping to raise money, but many of them will volunteer for Camp Good Days. And like I said, those are the two lifelines of Camp Good Days, the donations of money and donations of time.
It is. And, you know, I mean, I've seen pictures from the events where it looks like the kids are like holding each other up because they're so tired from dancing,
yeah.
But they do it, you know, and you know, God bless them. I mean, it's a great, you know, what a great event. And I've heard about that for years, you know, in this town. It's always been one of those staples, you know, the And it's a great thing. And, you know, and it goes towards good things like Camp Good Days and everything. We're going to be finishing up here this hour. And I know, gosh, you got two more to go with some other crazies besides us. But I want to thank you for the time this morning and, you know, and how you touch our hearts as well as touch everybody who listens. I want to let people know that they can donate to Camp Good Days on special times at campgooddays.org and click on the flag that says donate. And if you can't donate that way, you want to mail in a check, it's Camp Good Days, P.O. Box 665-1332, Pittsford Menden Road. See, I said it different that time. Mm-hmm. I didn't say 1332. I said 1332. Pittsford Menden Road, Menden, New York, 14506. You know, check out the webpage, too, campgooddays.org, as well as Cancer Mission 2020. And, Gary, thank you so much for joining us this year. We look forward to it every year, and I cannot wait till next year. And I got two more hours, so I'll be back here with Sammy and Jeff DeVeronica. So we got to go to break, but thanks so much for the time today.
You're welcome, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Kick This. And Gary Mervis joining us there.
Everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10.
Glistening once again.
With candy canes and silver lanes aglow.